Hello, Suits fans, and thank you for joining us here at the AfterBuzz TV coverage of Suits Season 6, Episode 14. We are going to talk about it all. It's going to be here. It's going to be next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey.
She's stealing water.
She's stealing everybody's water.
I really am.
I told her no.
I was so busy.
Right. You couldn't tell me no.
Hello, associates, and welcome to the law firm of... Kaufman. I'll go first.
Yes, your name.
Kaufman, Hobson, Brazier, and Ike.
Hi.
Ike is working at Fashion Police, working for all the award season stuff
Brazier.
That she's doing. Brazier.
Brazier,
you're here. You are here.
Yes.
All right. Thank you all for joining us here. I'm your host, Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter, at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N, but I'm not alone. We are three-fourths full strength here.
Yes, we are.
Starting to my immediate left.
Sup, guys? It is Stacey Ike. You guys can check me out on Twitter and Instagram at One Take Stace. So good to be back.
Welcome back. And I'm Tiana Hobson, and you can find me at the Tiana Hobson.
I was trying to retweet the tweet.
I know.
Retweet that tweet.
So we're in the thick of it right now.
Yeah.
This is... Hell has broken loose.
It is.
Hell has broken loose.
But what I like about this show is they... Right around now, we tend to wind up in this bedlam of, like, what's happening? People are in prison. Will they ever get out? This Anita Gibbs is going to come back. Like, all this is happening. Mm-hmm. And then it all tends to get sewn up a lot.
Yeah.
Heading into the mid-season finale, these final two episodes.
Yeah.
But how are we feeling right now in the midst of the chaos?
In the midst of the chaos, I am still finding the shimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And I hope that we stay down the right path. Like, I don't want Mike to become a lawyer.
Mm.
Because I think that just sets him up on something that was based off of fraud once again.
Yes.
And I
yes.
don't want him to go back down the same route that he's already been. He's been down this path. We know where that path leads him to, jail. So I don't want him to start off a new career again based on fraud.
I'm surprised he's even into it. Like, I was confused that he was so willing. I mean, I understand why, you know, Rachel's involved and that kind of thing. It's just, some of it is a little weird to me.
But I think it boils down to that humanity scene that we had between him and Oliver, that a lot of lawyers... that are professionally trained, that are lawyers, they become lawyers to be lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Ross, for better or worse, became a lawyer, granted because it was an instinctual, quick decision, but also because he wanted to help people.
Yeah.
Like, that's why he stuck around. That's why he didn't go to Pearson Spector Lit. Like, his humanity is pretty clear throughout everything he's done throughout the entire series. So, given that this show covers a lot of this area of gray, I think this plot line works.
I think it works, but do you think he should be a lawyer?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
I think he's...
I'm surprised at what you said, too, actually.
Well, no, because I think there's what you've learned, and then... Like, there's what you train to do, and then there's what you wind up doing.
Yes.
Lawyer and doctor are one of the... And there's a lot of other professions. Like, if there are a lot of professions where that doesn't mean much. Like, I could teach film at a community college tomorrow, and my degree is not in teaching. There are just a lot. There are some places like lawyer that just require a certain credential for you to get in, and then it's ridiculously hard to get if you're poor or if you've committed a crime or you just don't want to. If you don't want to play into to a certain extent the classism that is applying for the bar.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Stacey, I want Mike to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to be a lawyer this way.
Yeah.
Because I would rather Harvey not go to the guy and be like, hey,
you're gonna
if anyone says they're gonna vote no, you get them to vote yes.
Right.
Because that is where it's that gray line, you know, where it's like you're crossing a line, but you're not really because this guy crossed the line first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part of it that makes it murky in my eyes. And I'm like, oh, this isn't the right way to get back into law.
Yeah.
I have a prediction on this.
Okay.
I have a prediction on that, and we're all going to have to wait.
Oh,
I think it's actually...
Write it down.
It's actually similar to my one last week.
Okay.
But let's jump into the clinic side of the case, the Mike side of the case.
Mm-hmm.
That at the end of last week, Mike comes to Harvey and says, I'm in. Let's do this. And now here we are the following week.
Yeah.
At least two conversations have happened that we were not privy to, one of which was that he explained it all to Rachel. We didn't see that.
Right.
I mean, was I the only one watching? Was I the only one watching this episode for a long time going, like, did he tell his fiancé?
I just figured
I think lies are not how we're going to get good here.
Yeah, she was in the room when he came in and said, you know, yes, we are going to do this. So I figured at some point there was some sort of conversation. Yeah. I think the first thing he said to Harvey was, now that Rachel's gone, let's get down to, like,
that's fair.
It's really going to happen.
Right.
And then the other conversation, which I guess didn't happen until later in this episode, was, does he want to become a lawyer at Pearson Spector Litt again, or does he want to become a lawyer and then stay down at that legal firm, stay down at that legal clinic? And the answer we eventually got throughout the course of this episode is that he's doing this to become a lawyer because as a lawyer he can help people, but he understands that he can't stay at the legal clinic when that happens, which is already very murky.
It is very murky.
Because that's not what he wants. It's not what he ever wanted. If that's what he wanted, he would have just taken the money and been a consultant at Pearson Spector Litt, and then Harvey would have let him have, like, a side project a week, and it would become incredibly procedural. And if this were, mid-90s TV, that's exactly what would happen, and we'd love it. But the TV doesn't run; it would run 25 episodes. Like, TV doesn't do that now, so you have to, like, everyone really has to get murky and complicated, and everyone will eventually come out the other end. But I, this whole case, I find very interesting.
Yeah.
Because we'll get into Craig later. We'll get into Craig later, but I do like that Mike brings Oliver into the fold at Pearson Spector Litt.
I like that, too, because especially after what we saw Oliver go through last week with what happened in court, I think that putting him around people who are like Pearson Spector Litt associates is a good thing for him because he's seeing how they work, he's seeing how their minds work, but he's also keeping the part of himself that makes him a unique lawyer. You know, the point that he pointed out to Mike that these guys never referred to any of them by name. It was all just, get this done, we have to win. He knows these people by name, that's what's going to make him a good lawyer, but he's learning the work ethic of what it takes to be at the top.
Because I would imagine throughout years, Oliver would learn the work ethic it would take to bang out 9 or 10 in the time it would usually take him to bang out 6.
Right.
Complaints or briefs or whatever he was doing down in the bullpen with these unnamed associates.
But then Oliver got annoying at the end. Is that just
Did he?
I don't have a problem with him saying, like, hey, I don't have a problem with him saying, tell me the truth and all that. I think that was cool. But I think him saying, I was trying to figure out what you guys were thinking during that same scene when he said, okay, you owe it to Nathan. I'm like, no, we told you. So, like, you're on the team. I don't know. Is that?
Because we don't technically he does owe it to Nathan because Mike's the one being sneaky. And the whole point of this lawsuit that he's, this class action, is being done in murky water.
But he, but all the truth that Oliver knows is that he's getting to take the bar after this. So, like, what's the big deal?
But he's
about
using
that?
This as leverage to get into the bar. That's the problem.
Because he can take the test.
He's being unethical.
Yes,
he's
sorry.
Being,
so,
to get past he's being unethical to get past it. An ethics board.
I
is what's happening here.
Yeah, I know this
dang
isn't.
Dang it!
I know this isn't.
I'm really trying to. This is why I can't stand Mike. Like, if you love this character, you just let him ride, and it's so wrong. Continue.
But I think this is the pure morality of this show that, like. Yeah, he'll probably come out in a way where his humanity stays intact, whereas I would say the world we live in, it would be more likely that the lesson he has to teach Oliver is that they're actually, like, if you operate on the lighter side of the gray, you're doing good.
That's a horrible lesson to teach.
But that's what he learned.
But that's literally what he learned. I know.
But like,
I know.
But it's
man.
Also, if you actively try to seek the light and the good in every decision you ever make, you're doing better than most people, most professionals of your stripe. That, like,
now
you
what
understand.
What kind of world is that?
But you understand the purpose of a lawyer in your society. Society as you see it. Society as you want it to be. And I think that's. The philosophy of Mike Ross, if you will, that I think...
That's real.
That said, I think Nathan is so backed into a corner that he might need to tell. Like, there's no harm in telling Nathan at this point that, like, hey, I lied to you. Hey, I lied to you. I was trying to step up. I did it with your clinic. However, your clinic, like...
Your clinic's going to be fine.
Yeah, like, however, your clinic's going to be fine, although...
You don't think he'd fire him?
At this point, that would look worse.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
That would look worse. Like, he's like, the clinic is co-chaired with a top five law.
But like, after they win by
a former number one law firm in the world.
But here's the thing: Mike keeping the secret is like him keeping the secret from Jessica. This is the man who actually, whose name is involved in this clinic. He deserves to know what's going on, especially if laws or unethical messes are being done right now. He needs to know what could come, what consequences are about to come his way. If tomorrow morning he wakes up and this whole thing has gone to shit, and he had no idea that this whole thing was even a thing, he's being caught off guard, and and that's not fair to him to be like, oh yeah, I had no idea any of this was going on in my clinic. Like, he's still the one who has to, you know.
For sure.
Farhan Fancy in the chat says the legal clinic boss is going to mess things up 100%.
He seems like a more ethical side of things.
I think he might cut a deal. We'll get in the predictions later, but I think he strikes me more like somebody who would cut a deal to up himself, because it seems like... I think Nathan would more or less, where he exists now, like, he's... I don't think he has a legal clinic for the same humanity that Mike wants to work at a legal clinic. Like, I think he's doing a legal clinic similar to why, like, people do extracurriculars in school, because he's trying to get ahead. And, like, sometimes if you didn't go to the best law firm and you don't have the best connections, it might be harder to get ahead. So you need to take those extra years to wind up associate at some place.
Yeah.
I don't know. We actually don't know a lot about why Nathan
does what he does.
Yeah, like, why Nathan's the head of the legal clinic. I might be dead wrong. Actually, now I'm unsure. I've talked myself into a circle. I'm unsure if
he's
Nathan...
Like, I don't really know all the time, especially on this show, when I think I have a great point, and then I'm just like, wait a second, the other side of that argument is...
No, but I think that's what's so interesting about the show, that there's so much gray that there also can be so many different theories. You know what I mean? And I think that's... Even watching this episode, I was like, wait, am I on this side or am I on this side? Like, what side am I on? I couldn't tell. And it's been like that for six seasons, I feel like. I can't tell what side I'm on. You want to do the moral thing, but then you also want to root for this person, and you want to have this happen, and you're hoping it can all work out at once. But
do you want to know what side this panel has always seemed to have been on?
Which one?
Lewis. We've been on Lewis's side.
We have no choice. The man has no one. Like,
He's got Tara
now.
He does have Tara. And you know what? Katrina being back on the show makes me so happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how much I love this girl's character. She's just sharp and cute, and like, I just love it. And it's crazy because I did not like her when she came on the show. It's crazy how like fake I feel, but I love you.
Okay. I like Tara for him.
Yeah, me too.
I have one question.
Okay.
Do we think Tara's forever, or do we think it's going to go down in flames?
Okay, so every other show I watch, whenever a couple is this happy, something bad happens, like one of them dies or something like that.
Oh, that's a lot.
But that's not this type of show, so I'm trying to separate my brain. I'm also trying to still, and I know I said this last week, I'm trying to separate her from her character she's playing on Arrow right now. And for me, it's very hard because I know that she is not good for Oliver Queen over there. So I have a little bias towards Tara, but... I want Lewis to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as Lewis is happy, I will be happy for him. But
I'm
not going to judge
her
one way.
I really think he needs a Tara. Like, even the scene of him coming home, I'm like, wow, we haven't seen him do that in a long time. I really needed that. So, you know, hopefully no one dies, but I do think that, you know, this is Suits and things go.
I think he needs a Tara, and I think they're doing a good job of...
Not overdoing it?
But I think they're doing a good job of kind of backtracking.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, they kind of flip, like, to a certain extent, they flip the switch where it's like, they love each other, it's happening, complication, we're still good.
Right.
So that now they're backtracking to the, like, well, let's get, what, that if people actually went through a relationship this way, what would the complication be now? Because, like, that would... be a complication that would be like a first, second, third date complication of like, I don't know you, who are you, what is this?
Yeah.
But because they were head over heels for each other pretty soon, like, the complications come later. So I do enjoy that we're getting that. Also that Lewis was, had retainers twice in his life and a skin tag epidemic.
He had so many surgeries.
Or just
medical situations
that happened to him. It's just like,
but it's
dude,
so
no wonder you
it's so Lewis.
Struggled with, you know, making friends in your adult life.
Aww.
And all this stuff. Like, no wonder you're so,
you
know,
been through it.
Crazy to be around and try to be a good friend to, because
he been through it all.
He had a struggle of a life, but God bless him for coming out on the other side, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cute and all his suits fit.
So. Also, he's having some issues with Harvey now that I think there's something that's gonna boil over whenever they feel like it can boil over, which is Lewis and Harvey.
So what do you mean issues in terms of just the fact that they got fired?
Well, the fact that they're just keeping Pearson's name on the wall, they're never saying who's managing partner. Essentially, they're co-managing partners.
Yeah.
And they're at a certain point, that's gonna have to blow over of who gets to run the firm, like who becomes the sole managing partner.
And especially if Harvey keeps blowing Lewis off.
For Mike. That's actually starting to piss me off a little bit.
Someone who does not actually work for the firm.
I'm like, dude, we have fallen in love with the Harvey and Mike situation or whatever, but I think sometimes they've gone overboard, and we've seen how, you know, what Harvey will do and how far he will go, and it's like, it's so beautiful, but it's also like, what's the word where you're not damaging, but it's like a really pretty horrible word I really want to use. I don't know what it is, but whatever.
if it were the German language, it would be.
It's a word.
They have a word for everything.
It's a really good word. Continue. Anyway.
But I that's just something I see that they keep coming back to every episode of just a little bit here, a little bit there, like a little sting here, a little sting there, because Harvey is, on pure merit, should be the managing partner.
Mm-hmm. Harvey?
Yes.
He should.
On pure merit, on experience, he's been senior partner longer, he's been name partner longer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, he would, on pure merit, be the better managing partner. However, what he's tied up with in Mike, the fact that the whole place fell, I don't want to say fell apart, but lost the status that it once had because of essentially what Harvey did 6 years ago, 7 years ago, that I think that would be the crushing blow that would make it Lewis's firm. And it's a war that has to happen.
Yeah.
But they can flip the switch on that war whenever they want to.
Yeah, and I really wanted Harvey, when they said, you know, they were going to do this together, it does seem like Harvey, Lewis's focus is to try and get the firm back to the elevated status that they once were. And Harvey's focus is getting Mike
back to
a point of being a lawyer so that he can come back to Pearson Spector Litt, which I'm still not fully convinced that Mike would become a lawyer and come back to.
Me either.
He would definitely stay at that legal firm. So I think Harvey's efforts are going into it with one idea of what he sees happening, of like the dream team getting back together, but you can never recreate that dream team again
because it's always so much happened.
So much has happened.
How can that even?
You can't
possible?
Live in the past anymore. Like,
he shouldn't even want that as an expectation.
Well,
to
and
be
it's
very honest.
It's also a legitimacy thing. It's also a legitimacy thing that we have to assume in the background. Pearson Spector Litt is overcoming their legitimacy of, like, it's in the papers. It happened. Yeah. A lot of people left. Like, a lot of things went down because Mike was there. So that even if Mike were to pass the bar and then wind up back there,
it's like, that would be so stupid.
Like, that's a huge hurdle of legitimacy that they'll have to overcome with every judge in the city.
Exactly.
And that Mike will have to overcome. And I, like, granted, I want to, in time, see that happen. Because I think that's a wonderful story, too.
Yeah.
I think it is, but I think even the way you just described that, it makes so much more sense for us to not live in the past. Because if we have to defend ourselves per judge, per case, per whatever, how does that move you guys forward? Like, it really doesn't. I mean, Dream Team or The Wonderful Story or not, it just seems like you're going right back. So much has happened. So much has happened. And even, I don't know, there's so many parts of it that I'm like, I don't think we can't strive for perfection now. And that it just has to be a different story. I don't know.
But that's a Harvey thing.
Yeah.
And
I guess.
And Harvey does have a hard time moving forward with things, whether it be work life or professional, or, I mean, personal life,
true,
too. Mm-hmm. He has that thing where he gets fixated on something. He wants things to be this way and always this way. He doesn't like change.
Yeah.
And this has been a big change for him, and I think he's trying
to put
things back together, which is taking away from the actual business at hand, which Lewis is handling as the co-managing partner instead of being the main managing partner.
I would argue the last, we've had four episodes this season since Jessica left. I feel like Lewis has been the managing partner all four of those episodes because Harvey's just been dealing with Mike.
Yes.
Harvey's been dealing with this, Harvey's been dealing with that, that it's like actual managing partner stuff. It's fallen on the Lewis that if Harvey keeps doing that, that whenever that actually happens, I've also, we all, I think, have read the rumors that Gabriel Macht may leave the show. So that's another thing they're kind of leaving on the shelf, that that's a good way for him to leave. That's a huge rumor, by the way.
It's the worst rumor ever.
I know. No, I agree, but it's worth mentioning that that is...
It's the worst rumor in the world.
Like, that's a rumor that's out there that he can...
No.
And then, you know, there's also the rumor about Rachel asking for time off.
Time off, yeah.
You know, we don't know if that ever happened or not, so we don't know.
But aren't they done shooting right now?
Well, I think they were shooting for, like, the next...
They're shooting, I think...
The next season.
Yeah, I feel like they're... Because this will be the end of season 6. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then in the summer, it'll be season 7. And I feel like they're shooting the first half, the summer half of season 7.
Oh, true. Yeah, yeah, no.
Now-ish? Like, yeah. I think they're writing it now.
According to Patrick's Instagram the other day, though, he was in L.A. He was in, like, Pasadena, like, yesterday.
Patrick, you didn't come hang out with us in the studio? What do we have to do? Like,
I think one of us has to slide into them DMs.
We got to slide to your DM. Listen, it can't be me. So go ahead and slide into his DM. We'll chat with you on Instagram.
Yeah, it has to be Steve.
We're trying to keep respectful. Listen, you got a woman. I'm not trying to do all that. Just go ahead and slide in the DM. Do what you need to do. Yeah. Because we need, because like.
Just two dudes. Just two dudes DMing on Insta.
Sliding in DMs. All good. All good. All good. It's all good.
So speaking of people having shows, the woman who plays Katrina was on a sci-fi show that she either has time off from or is in a sci-fi show anymore. Yeah. I did not Google that to be sure.
12 Monkeys.
The show. It was a wonderful show.
Yeah.
She's back on Suits. Katrina's back on Suits. She never technically left. She just left Pierce Inspector Lit. She's back with Pierce Inspector Lit.
Yeah.
Couture Apparel, which is headed by Carly Donahue.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a real thing? That's not a real thing, right? That's a thing they made up for the show?
I think they're using words real name. Like couture is like couture gowns, couture and apparel is like clothing.
But couture is a...
They're saying clothing.
Yeah. Right. Well, but because couture is... couture is a brand of clothing, but not the traditional brand of clothing. That, like, they just have stores everywhere. Like, apparently,
couture is like a more line high fashion.
Of, like,
so,
it's a line of designers that are, like, approved by this council of elders.
Like, I don't know how couture works. Couture is like a style of clothing, I would say, more so.
But
like,
it's a style, couture, yeah, but it's a style of clothing that only exists. But it only exists under a certain guise that I just can't call this jacket couture.
No.
Like, if someone who makes couture stuff made this jacket, they wouldn't because they have a very strict code of ethics.
Juicy couture is barely couture, you know. Like
that's funny as hell.
That's
oh my god!
Is that even still around? I still wear Juicy.
I'm wearing a Randy Couture shirt under this. Does that count?
No,
it's completely separate.
My gosh. Two different things.
That was so funny.
That concludes the pun section.
Of tonight's episode.
The Suits After Show.
Yeah, no shade on Juicy Couture. In case y'all want to send me some stuff, you know, I'm available.
But Lewis feels the betrayal from Harvey. Like a little sting that Harvey kind of had to bail on him over Mike.
Yeah,
because Lewis wanted to put together a presentation for this brand, for this person who runs this brand. And this person specifically asked for the managing partners, Lewis and Harvey, and she didn't get them. She got Catherine and Rachel, who sounds like they knocked it out of the park. We never actually saw it.
Yeah.
We never actually saw the presentation.
No, question though. Because Lewis said that every year him and Jessica did this. Lewis has only been named partner for the last 6 months. So he was never... She always had a named partner. Mm-hmm. And what was he before? A senior?
He would have been a senior partner.
A senior partner there. So this time she's getting a named partner and... A fourth year and a paralegal.
A fourth year and a paralegal who's also a law student.
But I'm just saying that to say she never had two named partners in the room with her ever. So the fact that she used that as her excuse of like, next time I ask for a meeting with the two named partners. Like,
I think she wanted more of a Harvey. I don't even think she... What if
it sounded
Harvey
like she
probably just wanted to meet the people who take
sounds like her now. Sounds like Carly Donahue really wanted her some Harvey.
Do you think this is the last we'll hear about Carly? Because they gave her a name. They did a whole thing. I feel like at some point we need to actually put a face to this name.
I feel like that comes back. I wouldn't be surprised if she has a history with Harvey. Like that's... that feels right for this show, that that would be something they'd do.
That's interesting.
They talk about her and then...
I really liked the Katrina and Rachel stuff.
Me too.
This episode.
I did too.
I love them.
It was nice to see them getting along. I had to remember that I don't hate Katrina anymore.
That's right.
You know, like in my mind, I'm like, ugh. And then I'm like, oh, wait, no, she's on our side now.
She's cool.
Yeah, well, what it is she's a mini, she's always been a mini Lewis. It's just, oh, no, we're good with Lewis now.
Yeah, we're good with Lewis. Yeah,
Lewis is cool. Lewis is cool. So a mini Lewis is also cool.
And she was always like plotting with Lewis to like get at Harvey and Mike, you know. So I'm like, okay. I can like her. I had to keep reminding myself.
She looks
there.
Amazing this episode. I'm like, listen, the clothes on this show, top notch, people, top notch. That's all I'm saying.
She's also been on the
show. Can
after
I borrow
show.
Some? Is really what I'm asking.
I wonder
wait,
how much of it is couture.
Way back when.
Like, okay, I'm like, I wasn't
seasons,
here.
Seasons
okay,
ago, she's been
have
on
been
this
here.
After
That's
show.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it was seasons ago she was here.
Oh, yeah,
here,
a couple times.
Another location.
Okay, so y'all trying to be funny. Got it. Okay, joke's on me. Got it.
Just a quick scroll what? Back.
Yeah.
Quick scroll back
well,
to that playlist.
Well, can she come back? Can she come back?
Sure.
I would love for her to come back because she's awesome. But I did really appreciate the Rachel and Katrina relationship. I think it's really sweet. I think there was a lot of parts that, I don't know, I guess it's just really fun to have her at the firm and like her and love her and have Rachel like her and love her and them have some kind of relationship. What sucks is that Lewis called them nobodies, and I know he didn't say it from his mouth, but it's like they're doing so much at the firm. They're pretty much keeping the firm afloat, which this new woman isn't going to know.
Carly. Yeah, I don't.
It's hilarious.
For whatever reason, Carly wanted Harvey.
Yes. Yeah. And then, there is a reason she wanted him.
And the sentence
is coming back.
And the sentence was, next time I ask to have a meeting with Lewis and Harvey, give me a meeting with Lewis and Harvey.
So next time is coming.
And, well, not well, anymore.
Then
because
she fired when, them.
Because then she fired them because of how Lewis snipped back of like, I'm sorry, it was Lewis and the best this firm has to offer. My up-and-coming superstars. And she's like, oh, well, you're rude. Well,
see you later.
Crap.
Also, your suit is uncoutured.
The other part I loved about Katrina and Rachel was just, you know, talking about Robert Zane and what it's like working for him so that Rachel could actually see, you know, another side of her father that she doesn't necessarily know, but the people who work for him do. And I thought that was very important for her to know. And it made me really sad when she said how excited he was and how he was going around telling everyone that his daughter was going to come to the firm and work for them and then that she didn't take the job. And
what did you think when Rachel said, you know, it makes me feel great? Was it because she felt proud that her dad still loved her or is she proud of herself? Like, what did y'all take that sentence?
I took it as she was proud that, you know, her dad had that to say about her because I don't think she hears that from her dad. And when she does hear it, I don't think she necessarily believes it because she knows that he looks down on, like, her relationship with Mike and Pearson Spector Litt in general. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to know that you're doing the right thing and Rachel clearly loves and respects him so much. To hear that he has the same admiration towards her from someone else is like, oh, yes.
It's
okay,
crazy because, like, her dad, to me, has shown that he has that admiration. Like, of course, there's moments when it's hard because, you know, they're bickering or whatever. They're dealing with the relationship or even the firm. But it's pretty obvious to me that it's all out of love. But, I mean, he's not my dad, so I don't know.
No, it's pretty obvious that it's all out of love. Actually, AHN7A6 in the chat says puts a new depth to the love of Robert Zane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Without even seeing Robert Zane. Like, I like that because it makes him kind of this, I don't want to say mythical character, but it makes him a very stoic character.
Yeah.
That you learn more about him as he's spoken of. And a special shout out to Alois Noreen in the chat, who's nothing to do with suits, but hi from England. It's 8 a.m. here. Love the show. Haven't even seen the episode yet.
Aww.
So... spoilers? You clicked it. Thank you for
thank you for kisses.
Hello. You get one.
Dead.
Hello, oh my bit.
I do a pretty good British accent.
Harry Potter.
We're done.
I'm so sorry. I know you came to hang out with us, and you probably left.
Also, Farhan Fancy. She's in Toronto, where it's 3 a.m.
Cool.
And they also shoot suits in Toronto.
Yeah.
It's 12 a.m. here, and I'm, like, ready for bed. But it's more power to you for 3 a.m.
Seriously? We go late here.
We go late and we go hard.
So let's go with... I've been reading the comments, and there have been some people who are not on board with the Donna.
Yeah.
Or at least...
Guys, the Donna is the best thing
since sliced bread.
Girl, stop it. Sliced bread now has butter, has sourdough. Like, no, I'm kidding.
Yes, it's gotten better as it's gone. Just as the Donna will continue to get better for generations and centuries to come.
I personally just don't really
know. I'm not talking about the Donna, the product, or the fun, or the fun that is her and Benjamin creating this product.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually all on board for that, but some of the comments I've been reading and some of the things I've really been filtering through myself before I said them last week were, does this fit the show we've watched for six seasons? Because I think that's what that's the nugget of what a lot of people have been saying negatively about the Donna. It's not that they don't think the Donna's funny and cool and an awesome thing. I think they're wondering, like, man, this could have been a webisode. Like, this could have been, like, does the, like, this is kind of sci-fi and... I think they're this second time around, they're getting to a place where it's very much inter-office relationship-y stuff.
Yeah.
That makes a bit more sense.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot of more, and, like, it also mirrors the Mike Ross humanity that we deal with the whole time as a theme. What do we think about...
I will say this. I trust Aaron, and I know that this is leading us a path to somewhere, and I can't wait to see where it takes us.
Okay.
That's my official statement.
Off the record, though. No, I'm just kidding. I also trust Aaron, but I still, for me, don't really think it fits. I'm assuming there's something for it, because there was a couple things I didn't think fit last time at the beginning of the season that just slayed me by the end, so that was really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, totally took me by a whole nother surprise, so that was awesome. So I'm going to say that there's got to be something. But for me, I don't know. It takes away from her. I'm like, I think
maybe they just drop it in 2 weeks. Maybe.
Because I'm like, how?
Because if you really want to say that it's building to something that's going to be huge for the show, it means that the Donna becomes the auto god at the end of everything, and everyone comes to the Donna, not Donna, the Donna, the sassy overlord, and that Donna kind of gives them insight on their problems.
I'm more excited to see Donna herself move into, sorry, a little gnat in my face. Move into a business venture of her own. She's always been assisting. She has the knowledge to run a company and do her own thing and branch out and, like, have her own assets. And I think this is a great path for her to go down. She already knows all the legalities within it. She's worked for Harvey forever. She's got a brilliant mind. She can handle running her own business. So why not branch off and start her own little business?
But Benjamin's the one who did that.
But they would be partners.
But Benjamin would be the creator. She would be the CEO. She would be the day-to-day.
Because Benjamin couldn't handle that kind of FaceTime with people.
Benjamin would be the CTO. He'd be the guy who made it.
Yeah.
The guy who runs the
exactly.
tech.
Exactly. So that's where I'm seeing this path sort of going down. And then it opens up the whole Donna and Harvey aren't working together anymore. Okay. Will Darby happen?
Donna becomes Harvey's client.
Yes.
Because Harvey would obviously be her lawyer for
exactly. This is the path I'm seeing it go down.
I love that path. Because then we don't. Because this isn't a sci-fi show, and I'm the nerdy type that if you tell me you've created artificial intelligence that can sit on a desk and learn from others, specifically Donna, my mind goes somewhere else. My mind goes to Westworld. We were talking about it a lot last week, partially because we were tying into Arrow a bit.
Yeah.
The Donna can grow to be Skynet. It can grow to be Skynet, and it would wind up on Earth 3, and it would be something the Legends of Tomorrow team would have to take down. It would be a whole crossover event.
We would wind
up on the Legends of Tomorrow after show.
So let us explain to you what the Donna really
like
is.
How we actually
let us explain the Donna to you. Let us explain Suits to you. This is a crossover event.
Crossover episode.
Hey, they already had Patrick J. Adams on... Legends of Tomorrow for the premiere this season. So, it's already kind of a Suits crossover happening there. We should just really go for
Super random side note, guys. I saw the guy who plays Jessica's man. What's his name?
Yes.
I literally can't remember right now, but I saw him at the airport in Vancouver last week.
Did you say hi? Did you not have his name then either?
No,
I don't think we all just spaced on his name. Isn't that Lucifer?
Because he's on Lucifer.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That is where they shoot.
Oh, I was trying to figure out why he was there, because my friend was like, he's there for Suits. I'm like, girl, he's not here for Suits.
Lucifer got a third season yesterday.
Oh my gosh, that's what there we go. I wanted to say something, but I was like, I'm such a creep.
Actually, Alois Noreen in the chat says the accent's cute. Who are we thinking? Okay, there we go. AHN786 in the chat says, I hope they make a webisode where everyone is replaced by Benjamin's product. I like the idea that, like, to make it more about a widget and less sci-fi-y, I would like the idea that Benjamin, with the help of Donna, is so good that he is the fulfilled potential of the Silicon Valley tech guy he always thought he would be.
Yeah.
And that Donna is actually one piece of overall automation that he can sell to huge Fortune 500 companies. Mm-hmm. That would be the pure business way, which is what this show is. Pure business, pure corporate, pure law. That would be the way they would actually go, is that the Donna is the prototype that would become automated telesales, automated, like, you could put it liberally, fire a bunch of people and replace them all with the Donna. And I think he would be able to sell. I worded it like Bernie Sanders would, but you know what I mean? That automation, which is all the rage right now, and that if he can be on the cutting edge of artificial intelligence for automation, like, the Donna could diagnose you before a nurse sees you, before a doctor sees you.
Right.
I go to CES every year, guys. I can talk tech. That's a separate show.
That's hilarious.
But in my mind, I think if it builds towards that, so it's less about the sci-fi element of, like, how do we make AI work, mm-hmm. and more about, like, we have a product, let's sell it. I think that makes sense. But I do have to agree, these last 2 weeks have been off brand for the show. But if they're building towards, no, we're going to build a business around the thing, and then Harvey's going to be the lawyer, and Donna's going to step out, and then Gretchen's going to take over both desks. Like, then that becomes Suits again.
Would that be what we think would happen?
No, Harvey would have to hire another assistant.
Like, that would be so,
or the Donna would replace all the assistants ever.
I think Harvey would keep the Donna over having a real
assistant. I think so too.
Yeah.
But I think the prototype
still has a part of Donna with
it. But I think the prototype that is the Donna would stay at his desk, and it would just be Donna, mm-hmm. and then the automation system would be Donna, and it would be an acronym for something. And then the automation system that her and Benjamin build. We're a little in the weeds here, so we should just...
I'm like, guys...
We should go on.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we're a full jump away from last week, where we were just like, nope, it's a Legends of Tomorrow villain. It's Skynet.
At least we brought it back to this show, how it can be incorporated. And Aaron, if you need me to help you out with getting there, like, just call me. Tweet me.
Also, Alois Noreen in the chat, who should go to bed. It's late. Or early. I think it's 8 a.m. there. So... She says Harvey should be for Prometheus. I'm not caught up on Arrow, but I know Prometheus is happening.
Yes.
We are definitely in the weeds, so let's jump. We got a little bit of Harvey and Rachel in what I like to call the Rocky IV scene.
Yes. That's
funny.
Which is the throw in the towel scene, which is like, if he gets beat up too bad in there, throw in the towel, Rocky.
Right.
Throw in the towel. What happened in Rocky IV?
Stallone didn't
throw in the towel, and Apollo Creed died.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wait, that was the Apollo Creed one, right?
Yeah,
right.
That was the Russian one. That was
when the big Russian white dude was taking everybody out.
That was the most effective 80s American propaganda I've ever seen.
Yes.
Because I still regard it as a wonderful film. But I likened that to a Rocky IV moment, in the sense that it's, hey, like, I trust you, I love Mike, I trust you to get Mike out of there. Before they mess his face up too bad,
yeah.
Before things get too real, before he can go back to prison, we lose him forever. And there was a very earnest moment there that storyteller me got really worried for everybody, because those scenes rarely go that way.
Right? Oh, not at all. Not on this show. Like, you can't just say we'll just go out when it's the time is getting tough. No, usually they go full-fledged, right into the fire. Sometimes they come over, sometimes they don't.
But I think it's an interesting moment.
It is.
It's an interesting moment we will likely be calling back to in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I agree.
But, okay. Let's get back to the case, the Pierce Inspector Litt side of the case. Because Pierce Inspector Litt is the co-chair with this unnamed legal clinic run by Nathan.
Unnamed.
Because Mike pretty much was meeting with the CEO that had everything together.
James Palmer.
Yes. James Palmer came in. Hey, I know what's happening.
James Palmer is Obama. Like, can I just say that? Did y'all see that Obama?
Actor has been in, like, other stuff, and I think he's even, like, played mockumentary type of things of Obama.
Before. I love him. That's all I'm going to say. That was awesome.
Mike Ross, I understand that you're not a lawyer. Never gotten to break out my Obama here.
Yes! Do it! That was awesome. Oh, my gosh. Continue. You should do the rest of the show.
We've had trying times here at Pearson Spector Lit. Mike Ross. I can't keep it that long.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a lot. Like, we'd never get through anything. Love Obama, but man, does he love a dramatic pause.
Yes. Really. I'd be like, Obama, just say it.
So
he's amazing, though.
Mike Ross has to think on his feet very quickly and decide, because, by the way, the episode's entitled Admission of Guilt, because what they need to move forward with their full plan is not to get an admission of guilt from VDS, from Velocity Data Solutions. What they actually need is to insist on an admission of guilt to ensure that they actually go to court.
Yes.
It got a little murky. I had to take out my... I had to write it all down and get back to it. But that's what's happening. That they don't actually want an admission of guilt. And when we see later when this CEO goes to Harvey, Harvey brings him up... Or Harvey keeps trying to get him to settle at $500 million. Because as we know, $500 million is the alternative. That they either hold steady at an admission of guilt, and then you know we're going to court, or they give up $500 million privately, and that's enough to tank the stock, which is the end game for this case.
Right.
I know, this case is a little...
It's really detailed.
This case is a little detailed.
Yeah.
Can't we just be dealing with someone's rent again?
That was a lot easier.
Actually, we dealt with that for like 3 weeks. That was awesome.
Right, exactly.
Like, it was there was a $3,600 case. This is a $500 million, like, this is a half a billion dollar case.
It's ridiculous, yeah. And it's, the way they talk, it's very $500 billion. But yeah. It's interesting, and again, it's just so, murky is a good word, I like that. And twists and turns with how many people are involved, and what it's going to take at the end, or like how the result's going to be. I can't really tell just yet.
Also, it was 150 miners, not young children, people who worked in a mine.
Mm-hmm.
who were initially offered $100 million on top of what must have been less than that before to settle.
Mm-hmm.
Mike says no. Harvey negotiates them all the way up to $350 because he's Harvey, and he's baller.
Yeah.
Just to break that down, that would be a lot. Even after everyone's fee.
I was just pulling up my calculator.
Because Pearson Spector, because we know that Mike's firm's going to take $50,000, and we know Pearson Spector Lit was taking double their minimum. I would imagine their minimum's $100,000. So let's say $250,000 minus $350 million divided by $150,000.
Boy, what did you just do?
Okay, well,
I didn't.
$350 million.
Divided by 150
people is like 2.3 million.
So everybody would have $2 million.
Everyone would have about $2 million because they would be giving up. They
like
would be
2.3333.
Because that lump sum would be minus $200,000 or $300,000.
Yeah,
right.
Just to get in the nuts and bolts of like what that means for these people, which.
But
Mike should be more torn about this.
That's but what I'm if these to people out. Do not, if they're unemployed now, they do not have health insurance. $2.3 million when you put up the fees for having lung cancer, all the treatment and stuff, $2.3 might not last them that long either.
But
and it's
they
not,
had.
And it's not
and the
gonna
fact that we even have
be
to
enough for their
that,
families to
crazy.
Like.
But they had less.
They did have a lot less.
They must have had a lot less.
Because the guy said something, the first guy he talked to, Mr. Stamos. Mike said our cap is $50,000 for, you know,
their $50,000 commission.
And I think he said something along the lines of, like, that cut is more than, like, we even got. So they
That's
got...
crazy.
In my mind, I think they got less than $50,000 when they settled. So, yes, this is a lot of money that can help. I think Mike is just, you know, thinking about himself getting into the bar and also wanting to get more for them, too, because...
He does want
to. I can spend $1 million in a day. And that might sound conceited, but it's just like if you really think about it.
Okay, I don't think
especially
even though I get you
$2.3 million isn't even gonna get you a house in LA. It's not gonna get you like
girl, I'll move back to Texas. I'm like, listen.
No, but I see what you're saying.
Like, yeah, like you could spend that money.
You can.
For someone dying of cancer who has to pay their medical bills, likely doesn't have any insurance on it. Yeah. They live in a city like LA, which is New York, which like the rent's already very high. Like that.
I'm just saying that they would need more than that to pay off all their medical bills.
Closer to double that. So $500 million is actually a very fair offer. However, however, they made it clear that $100 million was more than anyone had ever been paid in cases like this.
Right.
So it's all very murky. Let's debate the numbers some more. What we learned is that Craig's conceit is not about his wife.
That was the best tea this episode. That was the tea
so
of the episode.
It sounds like he has $300,000 in the Cayman Islands. Mm-hmm. Sounds like he does not make anything like that he could have that kind of money laying around. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to paint himself like a victim. The CEO is trying to paint him like a thief. Everything's a whole mess, but now Harvey has leverage. With Harvey's leverage, I think we should just jump straight into predictions.
Okay.
I like it. After Buzz TV predictions.
So, do we think Craig has enough leverage over everyone at the bar to get
to
Mike,
get everybody to say yes? I think
to
no.
get Mike to be a lawyer, because that's the because if the answer is no, then Craig's not actually. We might as well just blow the whole thing up.
Give
all the miners $2.3 million and be done with it, and like. And then that legal clinic can take all the credit. Like, honestly, we should blow the whole thing up with Craig. If we don't honestly think Craig can lean on everyone to do it, we have to assume that he can.
And here's the other thing. And Craig is a weasel for a lot of reasons. One, because, you know, at first it was, I don't want my wife to find out about my affair, when the easier thing than all of this stuff happening is to tell your wife about the affair.
No, we talked about that last week. Yes. It was...
So, two, Harvey has leverage over him. He used to have the leverage over Harvey. What's to stop him from finally growing some balls and turning Harvey in and saying, this dude is trying to blackmail me into getting someone into the bar. He should be disbarred. This is, and then, of course, by admitting that guilt, he would then, you know, get disbarred himself. So that's why I'm saying, when will he grow a pair? Like, it's what's to stop him from growing a pair and taking them all down in
because
this deal?
Because he's selfish.
He's like, weaselly.
He's selfish. Weaselly. He wants to make sure that he still wins out of this. So to take him down, he'd have to take himself down. And we don't think,
I mean, it's I just you never know when someone might just be like, you know what? It's worth I don't it. Even care. I'm the captain. I'm going down with this ship, too.
Also, Craig, quick note.
I don't know.
I just got to let you know, you work at the bar, and you're a lawyer. I assume you would know this, but Harvey's not your attorney if you've never paid him. Like, if you put a dollar in his coat pocket, he's your attorney now. If you don't do that, he's some dude you're talking to.
Real talk.
Also, why would you approach Mike outside of his legal clinic?
Seriously?
And how did no one, like... Catch any part of that
they
conversation?
Do that so much. I'm like, stop having these loud conversations in the middle of New York City. Like, please, like, people can hear.
I feel like there's someone at the NSA that's just following the. I feel like Suits is a real story, and it was actually someone at the NSA who's like, I have a story for you. All this is happening.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how they do that every episode. Not every episode.
I'm pretty sure Mike and Rachel are not going to have a wedding in the next 2 weeks. That seems out. I think it's safe to say that's out.
I don't know. What did I say last week? I think I said I didn't think it was going to happen.
I think I said it was happening. I'm wrong.
Yeah, and I said I didn't think it was, I think.
So it's not happening. The Donna becoming a fully autonomous business solution but in the next 2 weeks, and Donna has to leave.
Not in the next 2 weeks and she has to leave, but definitely building towards something of her and Benjamin coming and approaching Harvey to help them, like,
fund it
and set up meetings, and Harvey maybe not being on board with it
because
right
it means
away.
He loses Donna.
Yeah.
I could buy that, too.
See, y'all, I'm convincing y'all that Donna is
so
a good
interesting
thing.
Cause, like, it's just so interesting because if that happens, I don't know how I'm going to feel if she really has to go bye-bye, but okay.
I mean,
just...
she wouldn't have to go bye-bye. She's still got to sell the product first.
Oh, okay, that's true,
like,
that's true.
I could just see Harvey, like, kind of shutting them down and being like, no, this is a terrible idea or something. And then Donna being like, well, no, I'm still going to do this and you're going to help me.
Or the Donna convincing him.
Yeah.
That would be funny.
Okay. I'm sticking with that prediction.
Funny. Yes.
Okay. I'm sticking with my prediction from last week where Anita Gibbs will be one of the five people 5 up to a million people on the Ethics Commission. However, Mike, doing this particular case against VDS will be enough to have convinced her that he's
worthy.
And that he's worthy, and that Craig wouldn't actually need to flip anybody or do anything unethical.
That would be the
I also think. I also think in the next 2 weeks, assuming this board hearing happens in the next 2 weeks, that we're going to get something like Craig being outed anyway. Craig being outed anyway in a way that, like, people kind of know that Mike got this hearing. Then the hearing goes away, and then Anita Gibbs makes the hearing happen again. Mm-hmm. Or something like that, that Mike can become a lawyer cleanly. But mm-hmm. my other prediction is that Mike becomes a lawyer. I'm sticking to it. Mike becomes a lawyer through this.
I really don't know.
Mike becomes a lawyer through this scheme. Those 150 miners get $500 million. The stock of VDS tanks. And Craig gets disbarred.
Somebody said Mike should take online classes.
That's killing me a little bit. I still don't understand why he won't, like, actually try to go to freaking
school.
I still don't understand why the bar would let him. I still don't understand how he can pass the bar without going to law school.
Well, that's the thing. You don't need a law degree to pass the bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, just most people need the education of. Yeah. Law school He's in order to know the stuff to get through the bar.
I do agree. For 7 years, we've known he can pass the bar.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's fair.
Yes. I'm also sticking, because we have that same Anita Gibbs thing going last week. I definitely think she will be involved in the board of the ethics committee here, because it's just like, why wouldn't she
be? Perfect.
You know, it's like, why wouldn't she get in the way somehow? I really do want Mike to be a lawyer. I just want him to become a lawyer in the right way. So if it's going to go down the path of, like, unethical things being done in order for him to get there, I don't want him to be a lawyer, and especially not in the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to predict that things are not going to go to plan.
Of course.
Because
not.
They never do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting, the scene that we saw for next week of Rachel telling Harvey, having another moment of, like, this time, if things go bad, you take the fall.
Yes.
And I predict that things won't go right, and that Harvey will be... Not in jail.
Because I'm like,
I think that he will definitely have to, like...
Taking the fall for some of the unethical things he's done to get us where we are right now.
Yeah, it's like Mike had to pay the Pied Piper eventually for the wrong things that he's done, and I think that Harvey will be next, and... I don't think it'll be as extreme as Mike, and you won't end up in jail, and hopefully you won't, like, get disbarred, but there will definitely be some repercussions for his actions.
Also, Alois Noreen in the chat wants to know if I want to ship Donna and Benjamin yet. There's a 3-episode ship rule.
We're at
next week, we can or cannot ship Donna and Benjamin, but not before.
That's funny.
Can't even talk about it. Does anyone have any other predictions?
No, I like the Anita Gibbs thing a lot, actually, and then I don't know if I want him to be a lawyer or not. It's weird, because I don't know. I don't.
I want him to be a lawyer with clean hands.
Yeah.
And I think
keep it that simple.
I think either with or without Anita Gibbs on that board, I think we can get that. We can get him at an ethics hearing saying, Craig, the guy who was just taken out of here in cuffs or whatever mm-hmm. just happened to Craig, he's the only reason I'm standing here.
Yeah.
This is what I did. This is why I did it. This is why I want to be a lawyer. This is the full scope of there are 150 minors, not children, that just got $500 million settlement because I went after bad guys. And that's why I want to be a lawyer. That's everything I want to do. That's my humanity. And I have a legal clinic now. Something like, but that he flips that panel on his own merit, that's what ethics means.
Yeah.
That at the very least you own up to it at that time.
Yeah.
So,
I can see that.
Okay.
If you guys have any predictions, you can tweet us.
Yeah.
So, Tiana, if the people want to tweet which Earth in the DC universe Suits exists on, where can they find you?
You can find me chilling on Earth 1, and you can find me at the Tiana Hobson.
You guys can check me out on Twitter and Instagram at OneTakeStace, as well as StaceyArk.com.
And you guys can find me at Twitter almost exclusively. That's at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I do a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz TV, and I tweet about them fairly regularly. Thank you, guys, and good night.
Thanks for joining us. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.